Welcome to the Young and the Restless Recap. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Amanda, reporting to you from Togiak, Alaska.
I can't believe we're making this work. This is pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, it's not posted yet, but if it does, it's going to be very, very cool.
Yeah. Okay. So theoretically, our podcast is still on now that we're on completely different places.
Time zones.
Time zones, even. Yeah. So that's why it's been a little bit, but we're back on track, I guess.
Yeah.
Tell us, In Alaska, how do you watch Young and the Restless? I mean, do you have enough streaming service?
I can, most of the time,
yeah,
get enough streaming service. It's like, if the internet works, it works perfectly. But I also have Dish Satellite that right now doesn't work very well because the cable got unhooked in the weather.
Well, I was going to say, like, isn't your weather right now pretty mild compared to what it's going to be?
Yes, except that it's really windy. It's, like, crazy windy here.
Okay.
And so that blows stuff around and the dish gets unhooked. So we're waiting for a new cable to show up.
All right.
And once that happens, then I'll be able to use my DVR.
Yeah, okay.
Every day and watch it at night when I get home.
Okay.
Otherwise, I watch it on streaming, and it's usually fine.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah.
Okay. It's been a while, so you want to talk about Marco? Get him out of the way?
Yes, talk about Marco and what the hell.
I think last time he was just sort of lurking around town. Like, we knew he was still around, but we didn't know where or what he was doing.
Right. Well, I mean, he had this plan to get Phyllis back.
Yeah.
Because he thought Phyllis was such a hot babe.
Yeah. That didn't work. I don't know. Did he lure her to the Abbott cabin? Did she lure him?
I think he lured her.
Okay. And I don't know. I don't even remember what happened because it was a while ago, but she convinced him that she was into it and, like, tied him in bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't understand. Okay, the Abbott cabin, I realize it's a set, but is there really no bed? Is it only a pull-out futon?
That's a pretty crappy cabin, then.
Right? For, like, multi-millionaires or billionaires or whatever they are.
Yeah, you'd think that they would have more than just one room.
Like a studio. Although it has been in their family since, you know, 1792 or whatever.
Right.
So maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so it wasn't even like she took him in the bedroom. She, like, strapped him out on the pull-out couch.
Because that's sexy.
It was gross. And she kind of played along, and then once she had him all tied down, did Marissa enter the picture?
This is not her first time tying someone to
Just
be real.
For sure. So how did Marissa enter the scenario?
That I don't know.
I think Phyllis called Marissa. Oh, no! Remember, I think Marissa caught him. And then she got Phyllis to come in. I don't know. Either way. Okay, so it was Marissa and Phyllis in the cabin. Marco's tied down. And some serious hazing was going on.
Right.
So, I don't know. What did you think about all that?
What was their end game? I never quite figured out why they were doing this. Were they waiting for Were they waiting for the police to show up? Or were they waiting to just torture him? Or
I think they did want
to
torture him a little bit. Because Phyllis was doing the whole, you know, you violated me. You...
Right. Yeah.
You pretended to be somebody I love, and now I can't trust people. And blah, 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 blah. And Marissa was like, you betrayed me. And so I kind of got the sense that had they been able to, I don't know, like, Lorena Bobbitt him and get away with it, they would have.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think Phyllis finally was like, I'm not going to sink down to a low level. I'm just going to toy with him. And then they called Jack.
Right.
And Jack entered the equation, and it was kind of like, I don't know what, like a Face-Off or whatever,
right.
Where
yeah.
one of them had an accent and one of them didn't, and
And both accents were bad.
Yeah. And then Paul came in and was like, you know, you're under arrest. You know, because, like, the FBI wouldn't come in or anything.
Yeah, right.
God forbid. Not even, like, a U.S. Marshal.
Right.
Just yeah, Paul.
It's just Paul.
Yeah.
Because Paul carries many badges.
Yeah. So the idea is that Marco is now in a prison somewhere else.
So he'll come back someday.
You think?
When Peter Bergman wants an Emmy or is so bored with Jack that he can't stand it anymore, he's like, come on. Let's, and once he forgets how awful it is to be on camera all the time, how much work that actually is for the actor, then he'll say, yeah, let's do it again.
Because here's something that I was kind of like, oh, all right. It sounded like he was extradited just from the last couple days. They were talking about Marco, and it didn't, I guess I could have gotten this wrong, but it didn't sound like he was in a U.S. prison any longer.
So is he in a Peruvian prison? Did he go back to a Peruvian jail, or did he go back to...
No clue.
Whatever. Did we ever find out what kind of Latin American he is?
No.
Okay.
Right. I don't think... I think they didn't want to say...
Yeah, they didn't want to be specific.
Because then that might put the accent even more on blast.
Yeah.
Okay. Either way, okay, so Marco's gone.
Okay.
He's out of the picture. Right. And now everybody's sort of... I don't know, sort of getting back to normal without him.
Yeah.
But then... this whole Paragon Project thing has entered the picture as well, where, what is the Paragon Project?
I don't think that we've found out yet. It's something super secret, and it's going to ruin Victor's life.
And Jack's life, or just Victor's?
I think it's got to be both. Because, okay. but doesn't Adam know about it? Isn't Adam in on Paragon?
Yeah, so that's why I think it's Victor. Like, Victor
yeah,
will
Yeah, and not Jack, because he doesn't have anything against Jack. He and Jack are bros.
But I think, knowing Adam, if Jack ended up being sort of an innocent bystander that got taken down...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, collateral damage for
Yeah, he'll just do it, yeah. Because originally, I don't know if we talked about this last time, that, you know, Newman and Abbott had merged... because Victor had Marco sign all the paperwork, but then,
right.
you know, Jack came back for real, and we talked about how Victor, I don't know if it was blackmailing, but just kept Jack quiet because of the whole Kelly dying in suspicious circumstances thing.
Yeah.
So now they've disbanded that. Everything's back to the way it was, and Jack put Ashley... in charge as a CEO.
Okay.
But he isn't trusting her to actually do anything. Like, he won't even let her answer the phone.
Yeah, he does this all the time. He says, oh, you can have this figurehead position, and then when she actually fulfills the job contract, he's like, no, that's not what I meant.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
There's no golf.
I just can't understand that if you were, like, an investor, that you would ever put money into either of these companies.
He must be making so much money, regardless of the incompetence of the people running it, that the investors just don't care.
Yeah,
I see that residual check every 3 months, whatever it is they're doing.
I guess. Okay, so Ashley's in charge. And so did you see, like, the night that they celebrated Mrs. Chancellor's passing?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, her anniversary.
Who was there? Like, who came? They all went to Chancellor Park,
right?
It's
a weird collection of people, because it was, you know, Victor and Nikki, and Jack, and Kevin, and Marissa, or not Marissa, but Mariah, and Jill, and Colin, and Lauren,
Yeah.
And Esther.
Well, you got a good memory. Okay.
And Neil, and not Hillary, but Devon and Lily and Kane were all there.
Yeah. So it was a decent group, but it did feel...
scattered. It felt like okay, people who should have been there weren't.
Yeah.
And people who were there, it was kind of like, what? Really?
Oh, okay. And they did say, they went, Murphy wished he could be here, but he broke his leg or...
Well, he broke his leg.
Something like that.
Oh, please.
Really intense fishing accident.
I showed up for stuff.
Like, they can't even pay Murphy to show up for one episode. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we were all...
Well,
I was waiting
for him. He's older, so he may be retired, and he's just like, you know, no, I don't need the $30 I get for equity to come in.
I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so they all kind of gathered and, you know... Said some words.
Did her thing, and she did her thing.
Yeah, so there was a moment where... but Paul showed up, too. Remember, because he had the letter.
And right.
He said, I have a letter from Mrs. C. And they're all like, oh, of course you do. And he reads the letter, and the letter had said, like, it has now been 2 years.
Right. Yeah.
I can't believe it's been 2 years, first of all.
These are creepy-ass letters. Can I just say that that's weird?
I thought it was genius.
Somewhere, writing these letters, and, you know, if there's the first year, okay, fine, I kind of get that. But once it gets to the second year,
yeah,
that Paul has a stack of, like, 50 of these. It's the 49th year since I've died, and now you're all probably dead, too. But if you're not, I want you to raise a glass of cider for me. You know, it's like, come on.
I'm totally going to start writing these letters for my own death. yeah, I thought, it made sense last year when there was one letter, but now this year that there's another one. But at the same time, I do like that they're keeping her memory alive. So, you know.
I mean, it just like...
Yeah.
You know, it seems like a bit much.
Mm-hmm. So anyway...
And has in real life, the guy who played Brock died. Has there been any mention on the show of him dying, his character dying?
No, I feel like they haven't even mentioned him. Nobody was like, Brock couldn't make it because he broke an arm.
Because he broke his leg too. Okay, all right. So they're not going to acknowledge that actor died.
I don't think so.
Which makes sense. I'm not asking them
but
it seemed like...
But I do feel like, because we have talked about JT and Mackenzie being off in D.C. and where are they, you know, why, like, this would have been a logical time to bring them back for a scene, right?
Sure, again.
But Brock was Mackenzie's dad, and so it might be one of those things where they're kind of eliminating...
It's too hard to... Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyway, so there, like, it was towards the end, and all of a sudden, the power went out across town.
Right.
And everybody's phone did this weird, like, Matrix thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the only place in town that they could all see that the lights are still on was Victor's office. Like, they're all down in other places. Like, it
turns in light. Which makes no sense at all.
Right? And they all look up, and they can tell that the light in the high-rise is Victor's office. Like, how do they know this? Like, that's the 27th floor.
Now, was it in the shape of a mustache?
Sort of like the bat signal or
whatever. Yeah, like the bat signal, only it's the Victor signal.
And so then they go, it kind of flashes to Victor's office where Adam is in there,
mm-hmm.
and is he on Victor's laptop?
Yeah, he's on Victor's laptop because I think he's like planting evidence or something.
Yeah. He was also on the phone with some other sort of techie guy,
mm-hmm.
and they were, you know, putting in a virus or, you know, something into Victor's computer. And Adam kept saying, hurry up, hurry up. And then Victoria is, like, lurking around in the dark.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or I think she saw the light, and she was like, I should go up there and investigate.
Yeah.
So Adam kind of gets away with his little scheme. But it did show, I don't know if it was the same episode or not, but the techie guy that Adam was talking to,
mm-hmm.
is sitting next to Ian Ward.
Right, yeah, I saw that. And Ian Ward is doing his Ian Ward cackle and rubbing his hands together.
Yes, in an RV.
Yeah. Pretty nice RV. It's not like a Breaking Bad RV.
No. Yeah.
It probably had beds.
It's kind of a Murphy RV.
Right. Yeah.
And they sort of reveal that, okay, Ian Ward and Adam have teamed up to do this Paragon project.
Right. Whatever it is.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Which I'm sure the writers haven't even figured out what it is.
I get the sense that, yeah, they have no clue.
They're creating it as they go.
Yeah. Meanwhile, everyone in town is sort of talking about the Paragon project.
Uh-huh.
You've got Victor pointing fingers at Jack and... But not, like, angry, just sort of, like, suspicious. Yeah. Like, are you sure you are not involved? And then Jack's doing the same thing, and then even Abby's talking about it.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about this Paragon project. Something big's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully it will have something to do with the word Paragon.
And hopefully it will be a lot more interesting than it is right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It could get less interesting, but not by much.
I know. At this point, I don't even care.
Oh, right. I'm over it.
So, like, yeah.
Either give me something or shut up talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, what do you want to talk about next? You want to talk about... Go ahead.
I was going to say, let's talk about the pregnancies.
Yeah. Okay.
To Sharon first.
So I have said forever that Sharon wasn't really pregnant.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Come on. I was like, I just don't think. I think she's like hysterical pregnancy or she's not pregnant.
Yeah, no. I am disappointed that it turned out that she actually was and then miscarried and that's the end of it.
Yeah, it was real quick where, okay, apparently she was really pregnant.
Yeah.
And then she had a miscarriage in, like, a half an hour, but she didn't tell anybody.
Right. And then when she did, what's-his-name was sad, and that was kind of the end of it.
Wait,
and
so
it must not have... didn't she tell Dylan?
No, she kept it secret.
She told somebody.
She told Mariah.
Mariah, because Mariah was saying you need to tell Dylan.
Yeah, everybody kept saying, man, Sharon's acting really weird and suspicious, as if it's any other day.
Yeah, really, it's like...
But Mariah cracked the code. Mariah was like, what is going on? Just tell me. And finally, Sharon said, okay, I miscarried. I don't want to tell Dylan, because she was about to tell Dylan.
She said Dylan will leave her.
Yeah, well, yeah, she was going to tell Dylan. And then they were sitting at the couch, and I think she was about ready to just spill it, and he was like, because all I really care about is this baby. And if anything ever happened to this baby, I don't think I can handle it.
Right. Which Sharon hears as, I will dump you faster than fast and get the hell out of here, because I don't really love you, and I'm only in it for the baby.
Yeah, a little bit.
Which is kind of true.
Maybe. But I also felt like Dylan loves to save people, and that would have been a way for him to really be like, oh, no, I am so sorry. Let me take care of you some more.
Right, yeah.
But she didn't see it that way. So she swears Mariah to secrecy. Yeah. Mariah's not comfortable with it, but she says okay.
Yeah.
And Sharon's grand plan is to get pregnant again immediately.
Right.
Okay, so I know Dylan isn't the sharpest tool in the shed, but I feel like he could do a little bit of math, like 3 + 6 = 9.
Right, and you just had a 12-pound baby that's 3 months premature.
Like, something just isn't adding up. So, so her plan to get pregnant, I don't know, whatever. So, whatever... She's going around basically telling Mariah now, it worked. I'm pregnant. And Mariah is a little dubious.
Mariah's smart enough to go,
Yeah. So
whatever, crazy mom.
Now I'm really sure that Sharon is going to steal Sage's baby.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. She's going to do a false pregnancy thing. She's going to do the pillow and, you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who had the last false pregnancy pillow. Who can she borrow one from? Who was that?
It's been a while since there's been a stolen baby, but I just feel like I understand that Sharon is desperate.
Yes.
Very desperate and kind of off her rocker a little bit, but the fact that she had her baby stolen.
Mm-hmm. That's where she got the idea.
She's like, okay, this is where things went wrong last time, right. I'm gonna.
If I'm stealing the baby, then it's gonna be fine.
Maybe she should just enlist Adam to help her since he's got some experience.
Really? There you go.
Yeah, so, and because they're really going all over Sage's pregnancy about, I mean, she looks pregnant, you know, like, but Sharon just looks normal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and, you know, Sage has been having problems and had to be in the hospital and is getting put on bed rest and all that kind of stuff, too, which is, mm-hmm. you know, real life pregnancy problems, as opposed to Sharon, who's, you know, bouncing around. Oh, I'm so pregnant. Oh, my God. I've got such a baby bump. And it's like, no, you ate pasta for dinner. Come on.
It's a difference. And then let's talk about Sage and all her pregnancy problems. Uh-huh. I'm about ready to just toss her over a cliff. She's the most emotional mess.
Anyway, you don't like pregnancy talk. And a lot of people who have been pregnant and love it, they are digging everything because they can relate to it.
Okay. I just feel like...
To me, I'm just saying it.
Okay. I can appreciate if somebody else likes this, okay, fine. It's just not my jam, I guess. But she's been in the hospital because she did have some pains and she had this horrible nightmare about Victor coming in and stealing the baby.
Yeah, that was a good nightmare.
Which I thought was some good foreshadowing, right? The baby's going to get stolen.
Yeah.
But... She's in the I just feel like she's in the hospital all the time, and she's, like, so stressed out, and it's like, dude, chill. Enjoy the moment. I don't know.
Enjoy being in the hospital.
Even though we know your baby's going to get stolen.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's not worried. For a while. We got months until that happens.
And Nick has been very attentive. Mm-hmm. But I guess I feel like... Nobody other than Mariah really is taking charge of the Sharon situation. Like, come on, something is wrong, but they're all just kind of like, what is wrong? I don't know. Well, let's just wait for it to explode.
Right, yeah. It'll resolve itself. She's just hormonal.
Yeah.
She's just, oh, that's just Sharon being Sharon.
Yeah. Did you see where she called about, like, putting herself into, like, a mental hospital?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I missed the first part of that. What happened?
Well, she called and just kind of was checking it out almost, like, anonymously saying, so if I had a friend who was showing these signs, would that be enough to be committed to? And they said, well, no, not really. And so she's like, okay, good. So I think she was doing kind of a check to see if she could be involuntarily committed.
Because I thought it was maybe the other way around where she was thinking about it because she had said, and would I be able to have visitors?
Mm-hmm.
And would I be able to check myself out if I wanted to? There were some of those kinds of questions too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. And they were saying, well, no, not under those circumstances.
Okay. Huh.
If you come in and check yourself in, then yes.
Now, see, but here's what I thought. I thought maybe it would be a way for her to hide the fake pregnancy, because if she checked herself in, just like, hey, guys, I need a rest. This is going to be a place for me to get some good care. And everybody would say, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Because she had an ultrasound, supposedly, or a doctor's appointment for the baby. And Dylan was like, awesome, I want to come. Let me come. And she was like...
Yeah.
She was like, no, you don't need to be there. It's cool. It's just normal. And he's like, but I want to be there. And she's like, no, really. You have other important things to do, and come to the ones after that. Like, she's buying herself some time.
Yeah, which is not any good father would say, shut up, lady. I'm coming to see the first pictures of my baby.
Yeah, and so he didn't go, and obviously she didn't have an appointment. She just lied about it. And he goes, how'd it go? And she was like, oh, pretty good, you know, standard stuff.
Yeah. Two heads, one tail. It's all good.
This whole thing is the story I'm interested in, you know.
Yeah, like, well, you have a thing for hysterical pregnancies anyway, so any kind of fake pregnancy storyline I think that you would get behind. But this one, if you add in the fact that Sharon isn't having a hysterical pregnancy.
Yeah, that she's just crazy.
Yeah, she's just nuts. It makes it a little bit more fun.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think that's all I have to say about that, though, so far.
Yeah, I do like the scenes that they've had with Faith being excited about Sage's baby, though.
Oh.
I think that that's been to see.
But did you...
Faith isn't being a little bitch about it.
Sage and Sharon, they were in the same room. I think Sharon was either picking up or dropping off Faith.
Mm-hmm.
And Sage is very obviously pregnant and... Yeah. Sharon does not look pregnant, but whatever, okay. And Faith is super excited about it, and she goes over and she wants to, like, touch Sage's belly, and, oh, I can feel him kicking, and da-da-da.
Yeah.
And then she goes over to Sharon, let me feel, and Sharon's like, oh okay. And Faith is like, yep, don't feel anything. Nothing there.
I hear an echo. Is that wasteland. Normal, Mommy?
But, I mean... yeah, anyway, whatever.
Yes, Faith is going to grow up with the most skewed ideas about reproductive health.
About everything. I mean, can you imagine
about
growing up in any of that?
Particularly about, you know, how babies are made and how they develop.
So here was my thought, like, way deep into the future. Let's assume Sharon steals the baby successfully.
Right.
And it all works out to her plan.
Yeah.
Then she's got a baby where the DNA is Nick's.
Yes.
And she could claim that, like, she and Nick, you know, hit it under Sage's watch, you know, or something like that. Does that make sense? So
But if she did, like, a DNA thing, it would show that she was not the mother.
Oh, crap, you're right. That wouldn't work.
Yeah, takes two to tango, huh?
Okay, never mind. Change my mind. Let's not do that. She's probably got so many DNA tests in, like, a file cabinet somewhere. She'll just go, like, Rolodex it to the right one.
Well,
like,
she does when she's really crazy is that she organizes her DNA file.
Totally. I do love Sharon. She's ridiculous. Okay. Should we talk about Devon?
Let's talk about Hillary.
Yeah. Okay, so last time we talked about Devon being blackmailed for supposedly sleeping with a stripper, which he didn't do.
Even though he didn't.
Yeah. And man, I thought that was going to be bad, but it really got worse.
Really did.
Because he was pretty stressed out about that, like, the day before the wedding, and he's like, he confided in Lily. And I thought it's kind of cool the way he and Lily have really, like...
Yeah, they're having a nice relationship right now.
Yeah. Anyway, so they get married, and I think he's just like, ugh, I just gotta prove to Hillary I love her, and we're married, and this is just it. So where did they go for their honeymoon?
I don't know. Somewhere tropical.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the Caribbean, I think.
Not St. Barts.
No. No,
because they keep talking about... The BVA, for the British Virgin Islands.
Oh. Oh, okay. God. Okay. Oh, the BVA. Ooh. I want to go there. Hi, guys. It's Lindsay. Sorry to interrupt the regular podcast for a second. Amanda's Skype went out while we were podcasting, and we're working on a new time to connect this week. But that being said, we don't want the podcast to be too dated, so I'm going to post right now our part one, and we'll do the part two this week. And I will give you one spoiler because I've already watched Monday's episode. Patty is back. So that is a big one. I guarantee we will be podcasting about that quite soon. In the meantime, make sure you go to our Facebook page, The Young and the Restless Recap, and we'll see you next time. Bye.